To begin listening to the Jake Damon program, press 1.
Hello, peeps. Welcome to episode 4 of the Jake Damon program. Got a few things to talk about today. Firstly, being Captain Marvel and my thoughts on that particular film. What else? I feel like there was something else I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about Captain Marvel. I saw it. My wife Sharon and I were up in Vermont/New York, right on the border there where Sharon's family lives, for a wedding. The wedding was for Zach Green and Josie Hall. It was a great wedding. Very cool. Seeing people last weekend, and by last weekend I mean a couple of days ago. But Sharon had like a free ticket for the movie theater there, so we were like, let's go. And it turned out being like a whole bunch of people, like friends and siblings and friends of siblings, and just a whole packed house. Like the pastor who married us was there. Like everybody was there to watch Captain Marvel, and it was a very good time. There's always something cool about going to a movie theater where there's tons of people and everything gets hyped up and everybody has a good time, laughs at all the jokes. It's fun. It's really fun. I highly recommend it. I've gone to a lot of movie theaters that were like close to empty, and it's a bit of a different experience. You know, it's the energy isn't as good. Not that I don't enjoy it, but I'm just saying, like, it's way more fun when there's so many people there. But whatever. So we went to see it. And I had read a few reviews going into it, and a couple of them were, you know, off the charts good, but a lot of them I was reading were like kind of disappointing. You know, Brie Larson doesn't really have the chops to be Captain Marvel. You know, I was reading a lot of that type of stuff, like a lot of negative stuff, and it was a little disheartening, and I was like, come on, it cannot be that bad, right? And, you know, a lot of reviews, I shouldn't say just a few out of the bunch. Like, I'd say it was about 50-50 of people that weren't so up on it and some people that thought it was great. So I was kind of hoping that I fell on the correct side. We went to see it, and the movie starts, and I liked it a lot, and then it keeps going. I keep liking it. At one point I think I loved it, and it ends on a good note and has a great post-credits scene, and I got out and I was like, I did not see anything wrong with that. You know, to me, I would kind of place it, let's see. Well, this would be interesting because I don't know if you know what Letterboxd is, but Letterboxd is this cool app for, you know, people who love movies. They can review movies. You can make lists of movies. I don't know. It's really cool. So yesterday, I think, I put together my favorite MCU films list. And I actually put Captain Marvel pretty high up there. So there's 21 Marvel films. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read them to you right now, starting with the 21st, my least favorite, and going all the way to the top. And, you know, these are subject to change. These are just kind of how I felt in the moment. You know, I might swap a couple of these around. But for now, I just kind of want to act like this is my definite. But so here we go. These are my favorites in order from least to most. Number 21, The Incredible Hulk. Number 20, Thor the Dark World. Number 19, Black Panther. Number 18, Iron Man 3. Number 17, Iron Man 2. Number 16, Avengers Age of Ultron. Number 15, Avengers. Number 14, Ant-Man. Number 13, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Number 12, Doctor Strange. Number 11, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 10, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Number 9, Iron Man. Number 8, Thor. Number 7 is where I put Captain Marvel. Number 6 is Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 5, Captain America the Winter Soldier. Number 4, Captain America the First Avenger, which I love that movie so much. Number 3, Thor Ragnarok. Number 2, Captain America Civil War. And my number 1 favorite MCU film is Avengers Infinity War, which of course was amazing. But you know, judging based on the reactions and where a lot of people put Captain Marvel on their list that I saw on Twitter and stuff, Captain Marvel was down toward the bottom, or the middle, more the middle, not in their top third, because 7 puts it just in my top third. But I don't know. I can't really explain it other than I went in with particularly low expectations, with which I think helps a lot. You know, it helps. I don't know. It helps. It helps go in with a clean slate, a clean palette, and you just kind of, anything positive that goes on just feels extra good. And you know, I don't know. I came out of Captain Marvel feeling really good and really hyped. And, you know, I know a lot of people praise Black Panther, but Black Panther was the first time I ever went to a Marvel movie in recent, recent times, an MCU film, where I came out not really thinking about it much afterwards. I was just like, yeah, that was pretty good. And then not really thought about it much after. In fact, I tried rewatching it a couple months ago, and I got a little bored halfway through. You know, people talk about boring movies, boring Marvel movies. They talk about Captain Marvel being boring, and I'm like, what about Black Panther? You know, but Captain Marvel, I came out, and there were so many laughs, so much humor. Which a lot of people complain about, but I don't care. I don't care. I like the humor. Everybody calm down. Humor was great. I came out thinking about Captain Marvel a lot. I was just like, that was awesome, and I want to see more of this. But if you don't know the story of Captain Marvel, I'm going to go ahead and tell it to you. Basically, the story follows Carol Danvers, this is spoiler territory, just so you know. So if you don't want to listen to spoilers, don't listen. I don't know. I'm getting sick of people saying that, but I gotta say it. So I am becoming the thing I hate. Anyway, so spoilers ahead. So basically, it follows Carol Danvers, or as we first meet her, Veers, V-E-R-S, which we learn later is just the last four letters of Danvers because her name tag got broken half, and Jon Rogg, played by Jude Law, finds it and calls her Veers. And of course, he thinks that's her name or something. Even though the tag is broken. I saw something on that. I was like, okay, he's a dumbass if he thinks that the tag is, like, the broken tag is what her name actually is. But anyway, she's part of this group, this Kree group called Star Force. And Star Force basically is a Black Ops team that kind of goes out and, kills what needs to be killed, who needs to be killed, rescues people. They're made out to be the good guys, quote unquote, spoiler alert. They're not the good guys. At least Jon Rogg is not. And that scene opens up pretty darn awesome. This whole Black Ops stealth mission is super cool. I loved it. I really loved the way this movie started out. Just cool tone. So they try and rescue these people. Turns out, these people are actually Skrulls in disguise. And if you don't know who Skrulls are or what Skrulls are, whatever, Skrulls are these green goblin-looking creatures that can actually shapeshift into anybody. Apparently clothes and all, because they, you know, their clothes apparently, I don't know. I don't know how it works, but when the Skrull changes, their clothes disappear and up pop the clothes of the person that they changed it to. Pretty interesting. Anyway, and the Skrulls are made out to be the bad guys. And spoiler alert, they're not. They're the good guys. And you find this all out by the end. But anyway, Carol Danvers is this person who has these memories of things, little bits and pieces. And she can't really remember who she is. But she knows she has a past somewhere else. And Talos, played by Ben Mendelsohn, who was awesome in this movie. He was probably my favorite character in the whole movie. He's just very funny and just cool character. He is this Skrull who's trying to get into Carol's mind to find the location of this engine made by Mar-Vell, who is this Kree scientist in disguise on Earth, and this engine runs on the Tesseract and basically is the secret to lightspeed travel, and the Skrulls need it to migrate to a safe location where their families can be safe, and Mar-Vell was trying to help them in the first place. And anyway, it's kind of confusing just with me explaining it, like I'm confusing myself, but I think I'm getting it straight so far. Just go see the movie so you know, you can set it all straight. But basically, Mar-Vell is, I'll go into that later. But basically, Carol Danvers tries to escape this Kree ship, or not Kree ship, but Skrull ship, and crash lands on Earth. And she wakes up in this blockbuster and is confronted by a younger Coulson, Agent Coulson, and Nick Fury, sans eye patch. And they kind of go on this adventure to try and figure out what's going on. And she finds her friend, what's her name? Somebody LeBeau. Who lives in Louisiana, I think. Or no, Rambo. Maria Rambo. Maybe that's her name. I don't know. But anyway, she finds her and they find out that, oh, she was Carol Danvers and she was kidnapped after this engine exploded, giving her these powers. She was kidnapped by Yon Rogg, who took her and took advantage of her memory being clean. Turns out she was just a pilot on Earth, and her instructor, Mar-Vell, who was under a different name, I forget her name, ran this Project Pegasus thing, which is cool because that is directly connected to the first Avengers, and that's that Avengers base that they're at in the beginning of the movie where Loki comes down. That was the Pegasus, project thing. But Mar-Vell, it's weird because that's who Veers, or Carol Danvers, saw whenever she went to see the Supreme Intelligence, which I still have to figure out why she had to see the Supreme Intelligence. I didn't understand that whole relationship, but that's who she saw there. Anyway, the movie happens. It's very cool. I liked it. It was funny. It was I thought it was action-packed. I really loved Carol Danvers and her powers and how her suit looked, especially with the helmet on. Like, she just looked awesome. She looked awesome. Flying around in space, very cool. I have two gripes with the movie, though. One, and I think everybody has this gripe, Nick Fury's eye gets clawed out by the cat. And my issue isn't necessarily that that's how it happened, because if you remember in Captain America the Winter Soldier, he makes a big deal about how, like, last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye. Well, I'm okay with that. And people are going, well, oh man, getting your eye scratched out by a cat is a silly explanation, especially with that epic scene about him saying, you know, last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye, goes down. People are saying that that is very silly. So my rebuttal to that, and the rebuttal I saw that I'm stealing, which I completely agree with, is, well, that's in Nick Fury's character. He uses less than interesting scenarios to bring out the best in people. And the first example we see of that is when Nick Fury, at least I think I remember the first example of this, is in the first Avengers when Coulson quote-unquote dies. Spoiler alert, he's actually alive in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But when Coulson dies, basically Nick Fury takes his collector's cards, his Captain America collector's cards, and covers them in blood a little bit. And it's just a fake, like, story to get the Avengers psyched up again, because he throws them in front of on the table in front of him and goes, Coulson, excuse me, Coulson died because of this, and yeah. I can't remember what he says, but he makes it more dramatic than it is. Turns out those weren't in his pocket when he died. Like, it was just a little blood he smeared on, whatever. So that's kind of the same thing with this. When he says, last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye. And he did that to psych Captain America up, and really it was just a cat. And we find out that the cat is he's named Goose, but he is a Flurkin, and I'm not sure exactly how he gets down to that base exactly, or how he was there in the first place, unless it was Mar-Vell's. I think that makes more sense. But anyway, a Flurkin is this creature that I think can shapeshift into whatever creature they want, but it doesn't. It just stays a cat the whole time, and it has tentacles in its mouth, and also it has pocket universes inside its body, which means it can swallow any number of people whole. It swallows the Tesseract at a certain point in this movie. Very funny character. Loved Goose the Flurkin. But yeah, overall, I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10. Oh, did I say there were two things? Oh yeah, the last thing I didn't like besides the eye patch thing. Oh, I didn't even finish the eye patch out. I didn't like... Oh my gosh, my brain is all fuzzy right now. It's not that I didn't like how it happened. It's that he didn't really seem to be in that much pain after he got his eye clawed out. You know, you'd think that would be a little more painful. A little more screaming and crying going on, but that didn't happen. So that was a little weird to me. The second thing I didn't like is the last scene of the movie when Captain Marvel launches into space after saying goodbye to her best friend and her fake niece or whatever. She goes into space, and I don't know how this works, but she ain't wearing no helmet. She ain't wearing her helmet at all. And hair just a-flying in the space breeze. And she literally flies away with the Skrulls to a safer place. And she ain't wearing a helmet. And I thought it would have been cool if she was, but apparently not. Anywho, that is my... Well, this is my review of Captain Marvel. 7.5. I think it was very good. I think it was a lot better than a lot of people are giving it credit for. I think a lot of people are expecting, and Robert Meyer Burnett, I don't know if you follow him at all on YouTube or whatever, but he's a great source of information and gatekeeper of verisimilitude. And he is kind of the head of the post-geek singularity. I like him a lot. He has a lot of good opinions, but he says, and I completely agree, that a lot of people just expect movies to completely blow them away and change their lives nowadays. And sometimes you just got to go into a movie and be entertained. And I was entertained, you know. If I'm entertained by a movie, it's done its job and I am satisfied. So, 7.5, very good. I loved it. I liked it. It is in my top 7 favorite Marvel movies of all time. At the moment, could change, might change. In fact, things change a lot in this in my movie liking rankings or whatever. At one time I said that The Last Jedi was my favorite Star Wars, and boy has that changed. And in fact, it's changed so much since I first saw it that it is now my least favorite Star Wars. And you know, I've started looking at things through the lens of how much I want to rewatch the movie. And The Last Jedi has sunk down to the low end. So with that being said, that is my review of Captain Marvel. What did you think of Captain Marvel? That'll be the question of the day, and I'll have a poll up. Thank you for listening. You can check out the official Twitter page for the podcast at the JD Program. That's where you can find all information about the podcast, episodes, things coming up, all that jazz. And I do one of these a week, so you should check it out. I'm not sure, you know, it just kind of goes up when I have some time. But yeah, you can check out my Instagram at Jake W. Damon. I post a lot of artwork there. I'm a graphic designer by daylight, podcaster by night. Sounded so mysterious. I'm like the Batman of art/audio. You can also check out my Twitter at Jake Damon, and sometimes I tweet some stuff on there. But besides that, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the program. I'll be back next week talking about who knows what. Maybe talking more about lists. I like these lists. Maybe I'll delve into the MCU rankings a little bit deeper. Who knows? But with that being said, my name is Jake Damon, and you've been listening to The Jake Damon Program. Talk to you soon.